This podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off of all of the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word CHURCH to get 10% off. Go to IronDragonTV.com. IronDragonTV.com is a Roku channel with all of your favorite martial arts movies from Jackie Chan to Tai Chi Hero. They have the most 4K technology of anyone, more than Netflix. When you go to IronDragonTV.com, use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals. For all of the oil and wax smokers out there, go to NailedItLife.com. That's NailedItLife.com. And use code word Joey Diaz for the premier vapor pen on the market. For 20% off the premier vapor pen on the market. And go to HitE6.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. When you go to hitesigs.com, use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off your order.
Oh shit. Oh shit, you bad motherfuckers. The church of what's happening now. Fuck 420. 420 is a state of mind, bitches. What? The day the devil was buried at sea. Oh shit, Lee. Kick this motherfucker, Lee. Little Timon Magoo after me, you motherfuckers, taking you back to the cave. What? April 20th, motherfuckers. Hitler's birthday.
Really?
Yeah, today's Hitler's birthday. I was just thinking about that. What if Hitler's in hell right now? And he thinks everybody's smoking dope, celebrating his fucking birthday, that egomaniac. That's what he thinks. He's probably up there right now fucking going, look at all these people celebrating my fucking birthday. He doesn't know. It's just a small select of fucking confused people and fucking...
He's just mad the Jews are still alive.
Some fucking old neighborhood somewhere. What's happening, baby boy?
Nothing.
Churchill, what's happening now, people? Thank you for coming. April 20th, the day the devil was buried at sea, stuffed in a garbage can, taken out. Fed to the sharks. God knows what the fuck happened to him.
Fuck the devil.
What's up, brother? How was your weekend?
Great. I had a great weekend. Paula is in the middle of law school finals, so I saw her Thursday night. And then we just kind of hung out. It was fun.
So she got one more year left after this year?
Yeah, she got one more year
left. And she graduates next June or whatever?
Yeah, she graduates in like May, and then she has to study for the bar.
When is the bar?
It's like late summer, I think. I think it's like
all summer long she studies at the bar. Look at you, bad motherfucker. You'll be helping them with quiz cards and shit.
I don't know if I'm going to see her, to be honest.
You'll fucking see her. You'll figure out a way, you little horny fuck. Anyway, I want to thank the Houston Improv and the city of motherfucking Houston and surrounding areas for great shows this week. And we had some great times from Bobby and his beautiful girlfriend to fucking Ookie Spooky. To all the rest of the fucking church savages were there at heart. It was a great, Houston's still a great city, but it's something's happening across the country, statewide, that nationwide, that I see it. Fucking traffic has doubled in that city.
Really?
Yeah. Traffic is fucking horrendous, man. Traffic has doubled or tripled in Austin, you know. I haven't been in Dallas in a while, but it's fucking boggling that everywhere you go now, it's bumper to bumper. Bumper to fucking bumper.
Man. I wonder what it is. I wonder if maybe gas prices, so everyone just moved closer to the
work. People moving to Texas because of the oil. You know, there's work in Texas. You know, people chasing work right now in this country.
Yeah.
So they go where the work is. I don't know. Maybe it's that. You know, you go to San Jose, there's a little bit of traffic. Sacramento's got a little bit of traffic. You go to the bigger cities, there's a lot more people. So it's bumper to bumper no matter where the fuck you go, you know?
I always wondered what that was like because I really had 3 choices. Stay in Boston, go to LA or New York. Those were my 3 options. I've always wondered how, like, if I went to BU, Boston University, had a business degree, and just, like, sent applications all around the country, and then what if I got a job in Missouri? Like, one of the kids I went to high school with got a job at Churchill Downs. He's from fucking Sudbury now. He's at Churchill Downs doing like IT. And I'm just like, that must be kind of weird. At least I knew I was coming to LA or New York. Everywhere else, it's just like, I'll go anywhere.
So your question is, what if you would have gone somewhere else completely different?
Well, not even just that. Actually, know what I was thinking of? And this is kind of interesting. When I interned out here the summer before I moved here, I was working nights and I was at a Jack in the Box drive-thru, and this woman started beeping at me, and she saw my Emerson sticker, and she was Doug Herzog's old personal assistant. And Doug Herzog is the president of Viacom, like Comedy Central and all that stuff, and he's from Emerson. So she gave me his number, and I called the next day thinking I'd get the receptionist, like that's who she said I would get, to like schedule like a meeting or whatever, just to say hi. And I called, and he picked up, and I panicked because I was not expecting to talk to him, so I hung up. And then I tried once more, but I was never able to meet him. And Paula and I were talking the other night. I was like, wow, if I hadn't hung up that call and had talked to him, I probably would have ended up working for Comedy Central in like New York or something. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't like LA when I interned out here. So like me hanging up, I was high, and I was thinking of it like me hanging up that call, like changed my life most likely.
You think he would have given you a job just like that?
He's from Emerson, and he has a pretty good reputation. He like that's why his old assistant beeped at me. I don't think he would have given me totally a job, but I think meeting him. And I was working for another Emerson alum out here, so I think I probably could have got at least an internship in New York.
You know, once you get older, you realize your life is a bunch of fucking what-ifs.
I know.
Like, what if you would have taken this job? What if you got sick that day? What if you, you know, wouldn't have gotten the car? I mean, your life, and you, for years, you ask, you know, you want to know the answers. I mean, what if, what, you know, that guy that missed the flight at 9/11 in Boston.
Well, there were a couple of them.
There was a couple of them.
Like Mark Wahlberg and the guy from Family Guy.
And the guy from, what the fuck's his name? Dougie Fresh. He was Mike Feynman's old roommate, missed the flight that morning also coming out of Boston.
Wow.
So just you always have these what ifs, you know. What if I would have stayed? You know, you always ask me, Joey, why did you, you know, when I left in 85, I was writing about this over the weekend. I had, you know, what if I would have stayed? I mean, how long today would have caught up to me and shoot me, you know, how long till I would have get shot, you know. It was an interesting thing the other day that I carried a gun for 5 years, you know, and it's like when I carried a gun all those years, I bumped into people that carried guns.
Where were you, like what years?
84.
Okay.
In New York through right before I got arrested for kidnapping, I always carried a gun with me, two guns. If I was in the car, I'd have a gun under the seat. I'd have a gun on my waistband.
What was your thinking? Like, what? Why did you have it?
Craziness, insecurity. I don't know. Just thinking I was important. Thinking that.
That's 4 years of could have been the end of your life.
5 years.
5 years.
5 years. Because I started carrying the gun in November of 84. I started carrying the gun.
Wow.
And then I had it. And then I sold it before I went to New York. And then once I got to Colorado, I think I bought another gun maybe in 86. I bought a gun from some kid on the street.
That must...
like a friend of a friend. And I always think about that. That's one of my biggest what-ifs. Like how I carried a fucking gun. How confused and dumb I was to carry a gun all those years.
It must... I can't even imagine, but it must... have like doesn't it add stress to your life? Like, you must know it's there.
It's there. You know it's there.
Oh, my God.
You feel, it wasn't that I had a little dick syndrome. It was just that I always thought that was my fate. So I didn't want to be without one. What are you looking at, Lee? What is the
nothing, you stream died, but I got back on.
Jesus Christ. There's always this confusion. I liked it when you only had one fucking scream. It's like you're... You know, you're sending a rocket ship to fucking NASA or something like that to the moon. But I always think of that. And there's a lot of people that do fucking have guns that carry. I mean, how fucking lucky I was that I never got really pulled over with a gun on me. Like a cop never found.
Really?
I was never in a possession of a firearm. Nothing. Nothing. One time I got chased with the gun. I threw it out and I thought the cop saw it. He didn't fucking see it. And I learned what people see and what they don't see, you know.
So you went to jail in Colorado, and it was unlucky that you got caught. In theory, I know it turned your life around, but how many do you get? Did you get unlucky more or lucky more? Because it seems like
lucky.
Yeah,
I'm very lucky.
Wow.
I feel like I'm very, very lucky because that Colorado thing. I mean, at the end of the day, there was nobody untarnished. I mean, I can't say that. I don't know what Vella went through. I don't know what Tidwell went through. I know what I went through. And I'm telling you that this was not, you know, nobody got hurt, nobody. But it could have happened later on in my life when somebody got hurt. I'm happy that it happened then, and it really slowed me down. I think about, I'm coming up on, I don't know what the fuck it is, anniversary, 32 years. When I left North Bergen the first time, like when I really left and said, I'm not fucking coming back here. I'm going to try to get my life together. This is before I created Chaos. Like I left on like medium terms.
Like for Florida or Colorado?
For Colorado. I owed a loan shark money. I owed this bookie like 800 bucks. I mean, nobody was really influential. Like nobody. I had a couple people pissed off at me, but I didn't know where they stood. There was rumors, blah, 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 blah. You know, what if I would have stayed that year? You know, what if I never would have sent a tape to Adam Sandler for the longest yard, you know?
Do you ever think about stuff that you didn't do? Like things you could have gone out for that you didn't go out for?
Oh, absolutely.
Like something someone talked you into?
No, I like not going to the blood test for the fucking Marines that morning. What if I would have went to the blood test for the Marines that morning? You know, would I have been a lifer? Would I have gone to the Marines and pulled the rich gear and got in trouble for shining shoes and got thrown out of the Marines? I mean, this is what your life becomes. And you think of what made you make the decisions. And some people go crazy. I just move on with it.
Right.
I leave it to fate. You know, like sometimes you just fucking get involved in something, you know. I had an audition this morning. And I got to tell you something. These people called me in 4 times for this fucking movie. And I didn't want to fucking go in for it. And I had my reasons. It just didn't feel right. And I went today and I had a great time at the fucking audition, you know. Will I take the film? I don't know. It's going to be in my busy, busy, busy time. And I don't. But what if I wouldn't have gone in for it, you know? There's nights I put my jiu-jitsu knee pads on and my jiu-jitsu pants. I'm like, I don't know if I can go to jiu-jitsu. And I think of something. I think of every time I do go to jiu-jitsu, how much of a good time I have. And in the middle of the class, even though I'm sweating, and I'm breathing, and I'm huffing and puffing, and I think I'm going to die. I say to myself, Jesus Christ, I'm happy I came to jiu-jitsu. I learned a pretty fucking cool move.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you never want to live a life of what-ifs.
But there's always going to be what-ifs because you could go the other way. Like, what if
I would have stuck
what if
with
you
this.
Went to jiu-jitsu, and then, I don't know, there was an earthquake, or like that. That's there's always something that could happen on the other side.
Well, you don't think about it that way. I never wanted the biggest question mark I never wanted in my life was what if I didn't do it? What if? I always thought that early on I knew that I was this is nothing to feel good about, but I always knew that I was the type of person. It's like when I kick work away, when somebody offers me a weekend somewhere. I don't like turning it down because I know somewhere in the future, I'm going to need that money.
Right,
and I'm going to go, why did I turn that particular gig down? I'm one of those guys, you know? But that's what I didn't want to do in my life. I talk to a lot of people. I have one friend in particular who, you know, she sold her life out for alcohol. And we all know people listening to the show. We've all seen those people that have great opportunities and have sold their life out for alcohol or drugs or blow. You know, when we were talking yesterday on the drive, we were talking about that I saw a few people in Houston that were funnier comics than I were. They had more, I mean, they had so many things going on in their career that I wish I would have had. And they blew it for fucking alcohol or coke or. And I think about myself, what made me stop at 44. But even though I was doing blow, I was always making strides, you know? And I made little strides, and I never went backwards, even though I was doing blow. It was like the blow was my own personal problem. I turned it into a personal problem.
And as opposed to
in,
what?
In my mind, I did. Let's be honest. In my mind, When you have a problem, it carries over into all the other avenues in your life.
Oh, okay, got it.
Okay, when you have a problem doing something, you know, I have a friend that won't return calls, and she has a ton of problems in her life. If she would just return calls and start with that, the problems would disappear. Every time I talk to her, there's a fucking dilemma. Every day that I talk to her, once a fucking every 10 days, there's always a problem in her life. But the biggest problem is she doesn't take care of the little problems. If you take care of the little problems, the big problems will work themselves out some way or another. It's little things. It starts with little things, you know? That was always my biggest fear, Lee. It wasn't, when I got into, all right, let's talk about stand-up comedy. When I got into stand-up comedy, I got into stand-up comedy not knowing what I really wanted to do. I was just looking for something different. There was a hole in my life that I was looking for that had to get filled in more ways than one. It wasn't just about a career or whatever. My career was a burglar. My career was a fucking thief. I had a fucking career. That's what, in my mind, I thought I deserved, okay? Then after about a year or so, you meet a couple different types of comics. You meet comics that are like Bill Burr, and then you meet comics that are like Todd Jordan. You know who Todd Jordan is?
I've heard the name, I think.
No, you don't know who he is. You heard the name from me.
Oh, okay.
He's a comic from Denver that was a high-level comic in Denver, and that was it. That's where it ended, you know? And there's, for every 22 Bill Burrs or Sebastian Maniscalcos or Doug Benson, there's 1,000 guys that are funnier than these guys that just didn't have the oomph to go over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny because when I got banned at the Comedy Works, I would take a bus from Boulder to Denver, and I'd go to the Comedy Works, and I'd go in the back. Tuesday night was open mic night. But what it really is the seasoned comics come down and get a few drinks and talk shit in front of the young comics about how they went out and this and this, and if you ever do this for me, then you sit there salivating. Like, I can't wait to go on the road someday, you know? But these guys would downplay it.
Okay.
But when I was in the room with them, Colorado, the region, would have, like, let's say, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, Wyoming. That's what borders Colorado. You know, if you look at the map, I don't know. I don't have it right in front of me right now. So these comics would just work that area.
Right.
They would work for Tribble in those days. They would work for the Laugh Chains, which is New Mexico, Tucson, and Colorado Springs. And they also worked for, like, the booker that I told him to suck my dick, the one that booked me in Texas and wanted me to go to New Mexico. They worked for that guy. They worked for a guy named David Tribble, who's a great booker out of the Pacific Northwest. Nice guy. He's missing an ear. I don't know how he lost it, but he's a great fucking guy.
You never asked how he lost it?
And then after that, that's your main area, in Kansas. What? And they would go to Kansas City, whatever club was in Kansas City. And that's what they would work. And I remember going back, and I don't want people to judge me on this. I'm just telling you how I thought. And I remember I would go back there and listen to these guys think. And I would sit there and go, so they're doing a lot more than I'm doing, but that's all they're doing? That's all they're doing. These guys don't strive to be on television. They don't strive to write. They don't strive to do comedy on the road. And those, when I started comedy, there was so many more stand-up comedy shows on TV. A&E even had one, Comedy on the Road. And they would go to different stand-up comedy clubs. And each comedy club would have, like, a contest to see what four comedians would go on that show.
Oh.
A&E had one. VH1 had one. MTV probably had three stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Like, what happened to Premium Blend?
Premium Blend. All these stations had all this comedy. But there was a lot more comedy on television. So the level of comics that I saw at the Comedy Works in those days weren't on those TV shows. So you have those level of guys. Then you have the level of guys that do the TV stand-up routines. The Tonight Show, blah, blah, blah. Then you have the guys that do that and do movies. You know, I always wanted to be the guy that would do it all. Like, even back then, I'm like, Kansas sounds nice for two times. You know, Wyoming sounds really nice to go twice to do comedy. But after that, I'm going to expand my horizons. And there was this one guy, excuse me, that did, like, the San Francisco comedy competition. He would do punchlines, and I remember how they treated him. They treated him like an outsider. Even though he was very funny, they liked him, but they didn't. He wasn't part of the fucking cool circle because he was cooler than them. Do you understand?
For the cool people who aren't cool.
Right. So I always knew, like, when I got thrown out of the Denver Comedy Works as an open micer, I was very happy in a way. And that's why when I went back and I did that tour with Chappelle and I saw Wendy Curtis, who runs that, I thanked her. because at the time when she threw me out, there was so many bad things going on in my life, but there was only one good thing, and that was comedy. I was keeping my life alive by doing little sets here and there. No matter how bad I felt, Lee, no matter how bad I felt about my daughter or the wife or what was going on, how broke I was or how I was living in this little fucking room. And I wasn't really feeling bad for myself because at least I was doing blow. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't living how I wanted to at the age of 30, but at least what I wanted was around me. You know, it's like Mick Jagger says, you don't get what you want, but you get what you need. But I had so many little bad things going on. The only good thing was that I was really pursuing comedy, heavy duty. Like, since I had nothing going on, I might as well put my efforts into comedy and see what happens with it. And what happened was I got better and I improved.
Right.
So when she told me, when they threw me out for the sexual harassment thing, yeah, it was sad that they threw me out and it was sad, but I had to make a decision. I had to make the decision, do I stay in Denver and just work the other rooms with the comedy? Now, everybody knows that the comedy works as an A room. Listen, man, as a human being, as a person, you always want to be in that A clique. Just because you know that you're going to improve that much, just by walking in there and being a part of that, you're going to grow as a human being and whatever the profession is. You know, let's say you want to be a brick mason, right? Right? And at this one company, they'll pay you $12 an hour and they'll kind of teach you, right? But if you go to another company, you learn from old Italian dudes, and these dudes have been doing 50 years. They'll pay you $8 an hour, but you'll learn how to lay brick the fucking old-fashioned way. What would you do? A lot of people go for the money.
Yeah, it's a right. tough decision.
But guys like me would go for the less money to learn from the best. That's how I liked it. At that time, like, that was my mentality. Like, yeah, I'm going to go to McKelvey's and Wits End. They're like fucking C rooms. What am I going to get from those guys? How to sell T-shirts at the show? How to fucking sell CD. You know, it was that mentality. It was that road mentality. Like, yeah, man, we just worked Oklahoma, whatever. Not even Oklahoma City. Like, they work like a fucking suburb of a suburb. And they're trying to fight, even though I'm going to Oklahoma City. I'm excited. I'm going for one night. It's that mentality. I always thought there was a lot more.
It's a hard decision. Speaking of what we were just talking about making decisions, in when you say it out loud like that, you know what decision you're supposed to make. But when you're broke, 21, 22 out of school, that $3 or $4 extra an hour is sometimes too hard to turn down.
Well, it depends what you want to do with your life. Right. I mean, yeah, I'm going to get $4 an hour and they're going to teach me and you're going to pick up bad habits. If you really want to be a brick mason, I really wanted to be a comic. And I knew one thing. I didn't want to pull the Louis L'Amour. I didn't want to be on the speed track and then have to come back and redo my act and learn again. I didn't want to con nobody. When I knew this was for me. I knew this was my last chance to be a fucking human being. Like, I knew this in my heart at the time. I knew I had nothing. I was going into my fucking 30s with nothing. I owned nothing. I had no possessions. I had just lost a marriage. I lost a child. I had a car. I had a mattress. I had some fucking clothes. I had a little bit of cash, and this is all I had. I lived week to fucking week, bro. Don't think that I was at 28. I was better than the other 28-year-old. But I knew that for me to grow, you want to be around the fucking best. So I took a chance. Once they threw me out of the comedy works, it was like, again, what am I going to do? Hang out in Colorado Springs with those guys? No. I picked up my car and I went on the fucking road. And I remember hearing about comics living in their fucking cars and just and committing to it. This is a commitment. This is when you know. You ever have people that tell you they want to learn how to edit and you check with them 3 months later and they've done one thing, but you as an editor know that they're missing it. Like, when people come talk to me and they say, I really want to do stand-up, I really want to be funny, man, I need your help, and I'll just send them on one simple mission. All right, tomorrow, get on stage. Hit me back after you get on stage. Let me know how you did. If they don't hit me back, they didn't really want to do it.
Right. We've seen that. You and I have seen that with people starting podcasts. But then also, the crazy, I was telling you the other day, I went, that Barry Katz thing, I went on all those interviews. I learned, even back when I was working in high school, interviews a lot of times will cancel an interview a couple of times just to see if you're really interested in the job.
If you're persistent enough.
Right.
Absolutely. I could see that he's busy, call back next week and schedule just to see. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I know all the reasons why. When people come to me for anything, now I know the steps at this age. If you come to me and say you want to be an electrician,
mm-hmm.
yeah, go do this. You know, that's it. It's simplified. Now it's right in your hands. Listen, you don't know about something, you go to the fucking library and use their Yahoo and their Google. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
But what do you need, a library card?
Probably.
That's it.
I don't even know if they have those anymore.
Yeah, they have them because the North Hollywood Library, they got computers in there.
Yeah.
No, I go in there, they get books sometimes. They got fucking terminals set up in there. I mean, they got the... I don't know how you find the book on a fucking computer. I'm still used to the Dewey Decimal System with the fucking books, and you got to write it down and go to the shelf.
You know how to do that?
I used to when I was a kid. Now I don't. Now you have to go to the assistant and ask if they have this book in stock, and she'll fucking look right through it. But that was my biggest worry, Lisa. Right. I was not completing something. I had done so many incompletes. Oh, my God. I'd started so many fucking things and quit, you know? I didn't think they were significant enough. But the reason why you and I have seen it here in Los Angeles especially. See, in Los Angeles, you have this level and the people could walk around and they're able to touch that level. Like you were able to bump into David Spade or whoever the fuck you bump into. And it gives you, I don't know, people want to start things. But when they, what's the result of being here? Is being on television? Is being famous? Is being a limo? Somebody opening up a door for you? People start things like that doesn't happen in 90 days. They go on to the next mindfuck.
Yeah.
You know, when I started the podcast with you, it wasn't to start a podcast to become rich and famous in 6 fucking weeks. I'm doing this till I fucking die.
Yeah, because you, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you had some sponsors on Beauty and the Beast, but not a lot.
Nothing like we've had. I didn't care about money. I wanted to do it to get your word out there. So people know where the fuck you're coming from. Why keep bullshitting people?
Yeah.
People see you on stage and they say, oh, this guy's a nice guy. But no, I'm not a nice fucking guy. I don't want to talk to you about fucking Martians. I'm not Joe Rogan like that. I don't know nothing about that shit. You know, people come up to me and send me fucking MySpace shit. Oh, look at this Bigfoot thing. Send it to Joe. I don't give a fuck about Bigfoot. I'm not going to send this to Joe. I'm going to delete this fucking thing. Don't send me that shit. I still get dumb shit like that because they send it to him. He don't fucking want it. And they send it to me, like, send this to Joe. Go fuck yourself. You know.
You're not going to send it to Joe?
No. Why would I do something like that?
I get that all the time for you.
And I'm not going to send nothing to
fucking... I feel bad, but I'm not... I forget what most of it is. I guess... Oh, yeah, the shout-outs, people.
Pictures of hummus.
Oh, yeah, that's... You know, shit. That's funny, though. I like that. I actually... Sorry, the YouTube stream went out again. Do you ever think about it and look back and maybe are glad you didn't get something at a certain point? Because today, like, I just did my first consultation today, and it went great. And I as I was leaving here, I was like, huh, I wish I had started this a year ago, like when I first started doing this full time. But then I was thinking about it, like, I learned so much the last year about it. I probably would have not done a good job at it and then just stopped doing the business. And now after we're just only... Oh, this is all I did last year to make money. This is the only thing. So I feel like it was good almost.
No, this is what you're supposed... This is the evolution. Look, we were talking about something today. And I don't want people to get this the wrong way. However the fuck I'm saying it. When I talk about this, I talk about how I felt growing up. When I was growing up, and I'd see people who had... whatever type of job. I was impressed. I was impressed with bartending jobs. I was impressed. You work in the city as a stockbroker? You're a fucking stock clerk or, you know, you're a supervisor at some fucking firm or an attorney. I always loved that. But I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like being at that place for 60 fucking hours a week.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, on top of all that, you had another problem, Lee. You have the problem that you're fucking making a ton of money for somebody else. Tons, and they're giving you insurance, and that's it. That's it. If you go to them and go, listen, I want to see what you made last year. I want to see what this podcast made. They're not going to show it to you. Not at all. They're going to say, this is what we made, and it has no concern with you. We pay you a salary. You think when you go into those editing people that you work for, what do they charge a TV show?
Exactly, yeah.
What do they charge a TV show? For them to pay you what they were paying you, what do you think they charge the TV show? Double, triple that's... So after a while, a guy like you goes, fuck this. You know what? I'm going to hustle. Man, I got 2 kids. Man, I got a wife. Man, I got this. I got that. Guess what? That means your hustle's got to be, your game's got to be tighter.
Yeah.
You know, that means on the first of the month, Joey Diaz, Lee Syatt, a bunch of motherfuckers start at zero. I started zero the first of the month. Everything that pops up happens. Like I said to you today, if LAX crashes tomorrow and the fucking the floor goes up with LAX, I can't fly out of here. Can't fly out of Burbank. What do I do at zero? I got about, let's say they close LAX down for 60 days. I got to come up with a fucking new solution for 60 fucking days. I got to feed my wife and my kid.
Right.
I'll put something together. That's called the hustle. That's called believing in yourself. And I never believed in myself in areas like being good looking or being very fucking intelligent or being a tough guy and shooting people. I'll tell you where I really believed in myself and putting two things together. Like, you want to put something together, Lee? But we're going to put it together the right way. Like, I was the type of guy that you come to me and say, I got three guys, they want to buy a half ounce of blow. Well, blow costs $1,600 an ounce. That means they got to come up with eight. What'd they give you? They gave me eight cash. All right, we could buy the half ounce. They're going to charge us nine. And we're not going to make no money, Lee. So guess what we got to do? We got to come up with another eight. Get that ounce to 16. And then we could cut it, sell them, and we could make a ton of money. What do you say, Lee? Well, I only got 110 in my account. Well, I ain't got 60. So get on that fucking phone. Make some calls. Tell people that you give them a grand for 85 bucks. It's usually 100. And bring over the fucking money. And within an hour, you'll get it for blow. You'll get it. That's hustling. And next thing you know, instead of making $50 and whatever, you made three bills in a gram of blow. And you do, you know, when I first got here to do coke, I tell that stupid story about the Whitney Houston thing. In those days, from 2000 to 2003, guys, I did whatever I needed to do to make the fucking ends meet. When I first moved in with Terry, in the back of my mind, I couldn't let it down. I was living in her fucking apartment. I couldn't let it down. I kept my little apartment over there, but I was still, what am I going to do, come over here and sleep in my wife's house and my woman's house and not help her out? I paid her off. I paid her half. Some months I'd give her half, and some months I gave her the whole rent. Some months I'd give her half the fucking rent, and some months, if she gave me her car to take to auditions, I'd give her the fucking car payment. That's my woman. I got to take care of her. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to send her to get a fucking pedicure, you know, if I don't have the money, but I'm going to help her with her fucking bills a little bit. And that's right. What I did. So I had to pay two rents, basically. I had to pay child support. I had to make all these payments. Lee, tell these people, how much are my checks from the comedy store?
$15.
$15 a set. You do four sets in a week. What's that add up to?
$90.
$60, stupid.
Oh.
And you went to Emerson. And let's say you got a main room spot. You get 60% of the door divided by 15 comics. So you probably make another $150 fucking dollars. So what's 150 and fucking 60?
210.
So 210 times fucking four.
840.
Okay. I was paying two rents, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-boop, and a cocaine addiction on 840. Joey, how the fuck do you do that? Well, during the week, Felipe Spars and Willie Barcena had a room. They each paid 40 a fucking room. Fly had a room for 50, 60 bucks. On the weekends, who doesn't have a room for 100, $200? And the rest, brother, came from slinging weed and slinging blow. Or gambling, or putting a bet into somebody, or sitting on somebody's bets and hoping they fucking lost. And if they win, holding them off and borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. That's a complete different other way to make a fucking living.
And I know you had little jobs when you first came to LA, like sometimes you would do some selling.
I sold cigars, yeah.
But I took an Uber here because I don't know if people can see that or not, but you're unwrapping another Chiba Chew.
Yeah.
But I was talking to the guy, and he works 7 to 4 every day. And that's what, 9 hours a day, and he makes 800 a week, he said. And I was like,
well, you got to take 200 off that. He makes six.
Well, no, yeah, but with the gas and stuff. But then I was thinking, because I did that a few times, I was feeling bad about it. But now that I'm starting this, like, it's like you sold coke and stuff, so you wouldn't have a job, so all you could do is comedy. I'm not saying I want
you to sell coke. That's not.
No, but I'm just saying you did it so that you could focus only on one thing.
Right.
And it's hard to make that decision. Because I get emails every day now about how either people want to do it or people just did it, and it's terrifying. And it's a crazy decision to make. Like I second guess it at least 3 times a day, usually.
What, not having a job?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, you're giving up a lot. And what's the opposite of giving up a lot?
Gaining.
Yeah. So you're somewhere in the middle. This is what I thought. Okay? Let's throw our cards on the fucking table here. And some people might hang up after this, whatever the fuck you want to do. I flunked out. I didn't have the means or parents or whatever to put me through college. So I started hustling. Whatever. I make ends meet. Was I making a ton of money? No, but I didn't do bad. You know, I knew how to keep my rent low. I knew how to, you know, this was before I was an economist or before I ever dreamed of. I knew that if you made $2,000 a month, you couldn't spend $1,000 for rent. Not that things are going to happen, you just can't. So you got to keep your rent low. So you got to keep it at 4 or 5. You know, if you sacrifice a car, that's why I always liked working close by. Because no matter what happens, you could always get to work. Okay?
Yeah.
And then for some, but guess what, Lee? I always found a way to get $180 to pay for 6 credits of fucking stupid community college. And I kept doing it. I kept doing 383. I did 2 semesters when I was in Colorado. Then I went back to Jersey. I even think I took a semester at some, not ITT Tech, some school out in Hackensack they have. I took like a course out there and something, but I never even claimed it. Then when I went back to Colorado, I went back to CCM, whatever. And then I went to Boulder, and there's a continuing ed school at night across the university. And eventually they came to me and they said, you have to transfer, blah, blah, blah. And I did, Lee. And I got to tell you, it was fucking fun. But it was different. I wasn't 20. I wasn't 18. I was 24, 20 fucking 5. I was like 24. And I'm walking around this campus as a fucking, like, a freshman, you know, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And I was having a great time, Lee. And eventually, you know what? I'll never forget, like, taking, like, now I had, I don't know, maybe less than a year of credits to take before I could actually get a diploma. Something I never thought I would ever attain, especially since I got a fucking GED. And then guess what happened, Lee?
What?
I got hit in the head with a left fucking punch. And that punch said to me just like this. It was like, listen, so you just got into college. Okay, you're not taking a bunch of loans out. This isn't costing you an arm and a leg. It's low interest. You know, I even took a loan out one time, bought a car and sold it and made like $4,000 and paid the loan back. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, hustling. You know, that's hustling. That's hustling. You know, I had a friend who would take school loans out, put it in the fucking bank, take a bank book loan on the fucking thing, lend it. Oh, please. That's old Jew ingenuity, which people don't even have anymore. To take a school loan out, what's the percentage of a school loan?
I don't know. Probably not as much.
3%. Right? What's the percentage? Anybody know on Twitter? When you take a school loan out, what's the interest rate they fucking blast you with? Okay, you think about that one, Lisa. Think about that fucking scam. Huh? That's a fucking Jew scam.
Okay.
So what's the national, what's the fucking average?
8.8% bump in 10-year yield means it's going to go, right now it's 3.86%, and it's going to go to 4.66.
So if you borrow money from the bank, what do you got to fucking pay? What's the interest rate?
Average loan rate. Here we go. The first one I can see is 7.6. So
right off the bat, you made 4 fucking points.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, you made 4 fucking points. So it cost you 3%, which is fucking ugats. Ugats. So my buddy would take those loans.
Okay.
And put them in a fucking bank book in the bank.
Okay.
And then he would take a bank book loan on that.
Okay.
And he would take that thing and buy a house. How crazy is that?
Okay, so wait. So he would take the student loan out, right?
He would take the student loan
and out. And he would just pay the 3% of that.
Right.
And then he would put it in the bank
account, get interest on that, and then take a loan out. To forget this whole scam.
Saying like because he had this money in the bank.
Right.
It was his down payment. Against it. Oh, okay.
So he would borrow against it. I forget how you would make the fucking money. See, I'm half retarded. I ate a couple fucking edibles.
A couple.
But that's the type of shit that... Did you fart?
Not yet.
It's like a fucking fart in here anyway.
It smelled like maple syrup when we first started.
Yeah, it must be something left over in this motherfucking...
I heard you went to Denny's and got French toast.
No, I don't eat that
banana
shit.
Banana bread French toast.
No, I wanted to. It's not
banana... It sounds good.
It looks good. Did you see
the My dad said he had it. That's
what
why.
What did he say?
He said it was great.
Yeah, it looks fucking really, really good. Looks like I'll also give you a fucking heart attack also.
I'm sure.
But that was the thing. So, not to get off the subject, Lee. Let me tell you what happened with this left hook.
Okay.
I realized.
I totally forgot about that.
What the fuck was I going to do with this degree once I got it? Like, this is 8 credits left. I just got out of prison. And I'm like, wait a second. So after I get this degree, what am I going to do? The only person that's going to give me a job is somebody in New York. That means I'm going to have to move to New York, get an apartment, and take a train and brown bag it to lunch and start all over again at 20, whatever the fuck I am, when there's kids that are 3 years younger than me already doing this job. They're going to be smacking me around, bossing me around. But here's what gets better, Lee, because I didn't even look at it as an option. I didn't even look at it as an option then. I looked at it as a jail sentence. And this is before I went to prison. I'm sorry to say that. This is before I went to prison, because this is what made me realize, like, I have no chance. This is what you mean to tell me I'm going to do from the age of 28 to the age of 65.
If you're lucky.
That's it. This is what you mean to tell me I'm going to get stuck with. Like, this is it. I'm going to be an economist or fucking be some, like, what I really wanted to be was, that's what I want to do, economies. And I want to do, like, international markets. Like, that's what I want to do, because I could speak Spanish. But that was it. I'm going to travel and do that, and that's it. That's my fucking life. Then I got a watch. That just destroyed my insides.
A watch?
When you retire, they give you a fucking watch.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. So that was my fear right there, that this is what I'm stuck with until whatever.
Right.
You know, for some people, it's marriage. For some people, for me, it was that this is what I'm going to do every day. And then on the weekends, I get Saturday and Sunday off, and I get to fucking mow a lawn and fix my house up and take care of kids. So where's my fucking peace? Where's my day off? Where's my fucking sitting around and just floating naked in a fucking pool? That's not going to be my, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. That was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
So that's when I started thinking about fucking careers. You know, like, what am I going to do? You need something. You need something. You need something with dependability. I wasn't looking. I knew I didn't have the mental capacity to make $500,000 a year as a doctor or something like that. Once I got the felonies, I knew. So I had to make what works for me. What worked for me at the time? Comedy. Everything about it worked. I could run. I could hide. You know, I had just gotten divorced. I had no credit. I was fucking shell-shocked. And I just wanted to find myself at that age. What better than to find yourself than on the fucking road, driving, smoking dope, listening to the radio? It's the best way to find yourself, is to drive and find yourself. And that's what really fucking happened. Now, what if when I came to L.A. and no agents wanted to sign me, if I would have said, you know what, I'm going to just move back to Colorado and do some comedy from time to time. I think really in my heart, comedy really saved me, because I think I would have been in jail now if it wasn't for comedy.
Fuck. Or you would have had an OD, probably. Or OD'd. I'm like,
nah, if I was an OD, I would OD, because trust me, I went fucking hard. That's why I couldn't understand when those comics let the addiction beat them. Like, when I had an audition, I prepared the night before. No matter how bad I wanted to snort coke, I wouldn't snort coke the night before. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of auditions I didn't give a fuck about, but I did snort coke.
I was going to say, not snorting coke for you is probably like doing a little bit of edibles. It's just like,
oh my God,
you snort more than anyone normally would.
Lee, when I get a call like at 6 o'clock, and let's say in my mind all day, I already had the money in my pocket to buy blow, and I get a call not to, you know, to go to an audition. Oh, my God. I would look at the audition. What time is that? 2:20? See, in those days, I wanted auditions later on, because I get me, even if I woke up at 9 and I got my head straight till 12, I could learn the lines and go in there at 2-3 o'clock. So I could still keep it together.
Right.
But those 10 o'clock auditions, I couldn't fucking snort, because you could tell I snorted.
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit back, but you've never really talked about it. Like, what was going through your head when you were like, yeah, I should still go to college? Like, that's still, like, I should still do that. Like, it just blows my mind that you were taking classes as you were selling coke and robbing people and being you. Like, you're like, yeah, I still need to get that degree. We never really talked about it.
I never shook it, Lee. I never shook it. I never shook it. As much as I wanted to not be that person, I love that side of me. I love that side of me that if things go fucking bad, I can just put a gun to you or work you. Or I love that fucking cold side of me at the time. You know, the other night I went somewhere and I had Black Sabbath on. And I go, why the fuck do I listen to this after 40 fucking years? Why the fuck do I have volume 4 in my car after 40 fucking years listening to this shit? I still like it. I mean, I still giggle. Sometimes the songs get me off when I'm driving. You know why I like it? You know why I like it, Lee? Because it takes me to a time when my life was, I couldn't control it. It was unconfusing. It was fucking horrible.
My life. Why do you like that?
As a reminder, I guess. As a reminder how fast things could slip up, I guess, in a way. I don't know. I just, at that time, Lee, I wanted to be a different person, but there was something that told me I would never be that person. So what am I even trying for? What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm always going to be a piece of shit thief. I'm not going to amount to nothing. That was my mentality. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this, trying to do this, when this is not going to fucking ever pan out for me, man? I'm going to always be, you know, I was going to school and I'd find myself in like a study hall with like, you know, like a study hall, like a library. And I'd have to go do something, look a project up at night or something. And I'd be in a library with, let's just exaggerate, 20 kids. And I'd look at these kids and I can't lie to you, they were all completely different than me. And they were all, had been raised completely different than I was. And that's all I could think about while I was sitting in this study room with them. Feeling fucking so inferior to these kids that were in this room and so insecure that all these kids had parents, that all these kids, maybe out of the 20 kids in here, maybe 8 of them smoke pot. The other ones are what society called nerds, who I don't hate at all, by no means. But they were not me. That's what made me even feel worse, that they were nerds, because they were not all me. So I never really got, I wasn't comfortable in my skin at that time, Lee. So, yeah, I would go to college and, you know, I would go to, let me tell you about a dumb thing I would do. I would sell cars. How many times did I tell you? I would make fucking $7,000 a month selling cars. A minimum of fucking $5,000. Even when I went to Chrysler Plymouth. You know what I would do some days?
What?
While I was working, I'd say, guys, I got to go to the dry cleaner and they lost my shirt. And I'd say, okay, and I'd take a demo. And I'd shoot across the street to the Boulder Mall and I'd go to that store that engrave you things. You know the stores that engrave things for you?
Okay.
And I go in and they have Parker pens. You know what a Parker pen is?
Just a nice pen, I guess. A
nice pen. And they have all different colors and stuff. And Cross. Cross was another old pen. I think they still have in some stores where it's just a nice pen. They have gold ones and silver ones. And I would rob those pens. Like I would make the lady show me the pen. And then when she would turn her back on me, she'd leave the big drawer open. And I'd take 6 pens. Put it in my pocket and cross the street and go right back to the Chrysler Plymouth store and sell 10 pens for $10 a piece and get $60. Now, why would somebody who makes $5,000 a month do something, risk everything he's got for $60 to be a chump, to fucking be a chump? Only I would do something like that at that time because it reminded me of who the fuck I was and where I came from. I liked having that little thing, and it was my own little secret. Nobody knew about it. I would tell them, how I know the chick that works over there. She steals them and gives them to me. Give me $10 a piece. Who takes $10 for these fucking things? I remember going to the University of Colorado in Boulder one day, and there was like a thing of like cheap watches, like, you know, those $39.95 watches. I took the whole rack.
What? How?
I just picked
How
it
do
up.
You pick up a rack?
I just picked it up and walked out of there with it, like I did Michael's jewelers, brother. Why would you do something like that and embarrass yourself and your friends, and then you have to go answer your friends? That's the dumb shit I did.
It's not at the same level at all, but it's kind of what's going on with like the Aaron Hernandez thing and all those like Tiger Woods, all those people who make dumb mistakes like that.
That's no. It's you're absolutely right. It's at a complete different level, but
it's the same theory.
It's the same theory. You're absolutely right. That's how it starts. It's just, I still can't understand getting $7 million a year and going somewhere and shooting somebody. Now, but let me tell you something different between me and you. At 28, and I'm going to look you in the fucking face and tell you this, and you're going to die at 28 if I had $7 million. I still would have done drugs, you know, but I would have done it in my house.
Yeah.
And that was just me. I would never
that
be
totally
out.
Totally makes sense.
I would never be out. I wouldn't be at nightclubs. People would not know my fucking business. I'm one of those guys. You know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have killed somebody or whatever the fuck by mistake. I mean, we don't fucking know the story of why this idiot did this. Nobody will ever fucking know the story. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I never paid attention to the trial.
But it happens. It's just he's the most recent one who's done it. But there's tons of stories of just idiots throwing away everything. It's like that Ryan Leaf guy. Like, there's tons of them.
I just, I didn't understand where my mind was then. Like, the things.
Did you realize it? Were you, like, ashamed of it? Or you just had fun?
I had no reason to be ashamed of it because nobody knew about it. Like, there was a kid that washed cars at the fucking Chrysler Plymouth place. Little young kid. If I was 20, whatever, he had to be 21. And they had a cute little blonde chick. You know, George reminded me about this one day. And the kid kind of bothered me a little bit. He pissed me off one day. Something about blow, something. And at lunchtime, I just went. I knew he was there. I knew he was at the dealership and he wasn't leaving. I went to his house, kicked the door down, and took all his blow and brought it back. That took him like 3 days to figure out it was fucking me. You know, I really didn't give a fuck. I lied my teeth out. He told me he was going to get three people after me, whatever. I told him, go ahead. I didn't rob your fucking house. Why would I leave here? And then he came to me and he goes, you know, I thought about what you said, and you're right. You would have never left here and robbed my house. You know, I got all this to lose. Why would I rob your house? And in reality, I did go to his house. Then I probably got, you know, 4 or 5 fucking grams. What if I would have got caught coming out of there with the coke and breaking an entry? That's 5 fucking years. With a criminal record for theft before or something like that.
And you didn't plan it. It wasn't like it was at night when, like, people wouldn't see you. You're just like, hey, it's noontime.
I would get impulsive. I used to be, like, very impulsive. Let's pretend me and you were tight for a while. Let's pretend that you and I were tight. And we were doing coke deals. And I bought coke from you. And you really dug me. And I really dug you. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Somewhere along the line, I went to your house one night, and you had a little bit of a fucking attitude towards me in those days.
I apologize.
Fuck you, blah, 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 blah. And by the time you come back, like, Lee, you've been selling this for $500 the whole time. Well, I had to raise my price, and you guys are selling it and doubling the money on me, and now I'm, okay. I would probably come back with the money and pay you what you want, but you're on the robbery list now. We got you on a list now. Trust me. We're going to keep doing business with you, but we're going to wait till you put your guard down, and it's going to be the saddest fucking day of your life. And that's what I would do.
Fuck.
And I'd wait till I'd call a bar one night, I was the luckiest guy in the world because I would just happen to call. Let's pretend Lee hung out at Swanee's, and there was a bar called Joe's, and I hung out at Lenny's. And you were at Swanee's, and all of a sudden you said, you know, I'm going to take a walk over to Joe's. And you went over to Joe's and called me. And I said to you, what's going on? And you said, where are you at? And I said, I'm over at Lenny's. Where were you? You were over at Joe's. And I go, who's over at whatever's with you? And you'd say, me and this guy, Pete. And I go, Pete the wench, yeah. Who's he with? And you'd tell me who he's with. I go, stay there. When they ask you who called, tell them you got to call your mom and ask her what she wanted. Okay. Guess where I would go?
Where?
To Pete's house, to rob him, because I knew he was at the bar with you. This was way before cell phones. This was way before pagers. This was way when you did everything on a whim. So if I knew, is he comfortable, Lee? Is he sitting down? Does he have money on the bar? Yes, he does. He's got a girl with him. Done. He's getting robbed because he just put his guard down. He didn't take care of his business on a Friday night. He's a coke dealer. He shouldn't be at the fucking bar. That's how treacherous I was. Like, I just wait. I give you time because I knew as a drug dealer you were going to fuck up. On a Friday night, you just got your load. You just got it. You didn't sell it all. You just got your fucking package.
Right.
So that means that you're what are you doing out? That means there's got to be a package hidden somewhere. Do you follow
That's
me?
That's diabolical.
So let's say I call Lee and go over there and ask him if he's got powder. And he'd go, no. He's getting powder at 11. He says the guy's going to meet him at his house at 11. If you see him out at 1:30, he's done. I'm taking that package because I know it's somewhere. Even if he sold half of it, the rest of that package got to be somewhere.
It's crazy.
It's fucking crazy, Lee. So I would just put you on a mental list and just have you there. Instead of going after you or robbing you right away, no, 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 no. No. I do business.
That's terrifying.
I do business as usual. You didn't even do nothing to offend me. And I'd tell a friend. I had like my friend Glenn Conti or Fernie. I'd tell one of those guys. I said, guess who's getting robbed next? Who? And I tell them, they go, "That oh, I knew you were going to say him. Fuck him. He's getting cocky. Yeah, he's got to go." And we'd give him like 3 or 4 weeks. And one night, I'll call one of my friends. And they go, guess who's at the fucking bar? And he's fucked up. And he's talking about, he just picked up a kilo. Who? Lee. Keep him there.
That's like a weird action movie, like an anti-Avengers.
And we would shoot to his house. Listen, sometimes we'd have an opening, a window. I'd have a glass cutter with fucking whatever.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, please. I always
like one that would go around in a circle?
Listen, for a while there, I thought I was Johnny fucking Pink Panther. And I had the sponges that you wash the window down to create the vacuum. Then you put the thing on the thing to, you know, like when you shoot those guns and they have they press to the window and you got to pull them out. So I would put water in glass. I would tap it. I'd cut the fucking thing with a glass cutter. I didn't even know what I was doing. I swear to my mother's grave.
Is it just from movies or something?
I thought. That's how I thought. I learned. And then a friend of mine said, yeah, I'll teach you. We ended up breaking every fucking glass. You just
broke the window.
Yeah, we just broke the fucking window. We had the suction cups and the whole thing.
Like, what did you carry? You did like a briefcase?
Like a little bag. No, like a little bag in our pockets. We'd wear hooded sweatshirts with like fucking, you know. I can't lie to nobody and say, yeah, I was precision. I was that precision. I ended up breaking the glass and putting my hand there. You know, and sometimes we just had a window that was open. Sometimes, though, I just pulled up on a door and kicked that motherfucker down like I owned it. Like when I kidnapped Bella and I went to get the coke out of Bella's house, I just kicked that door down. Ba 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 boom. Fucking when I walked out, there were people in the hallway. I didn't even worry about it. Didn't even give a fuck. I just put my head down and kept walking.
Jesus.
Why am I going to keep stop or look up? Just walk out. Ba, 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 boom.
How often did you get lucky the other way? Because I made a huge mistake yesterday.
What?
I was fucking elsewhere. And I didn't roll my window back up after I got my ticket at the gym. And I came up from the gym and my window was just open. And the first thing I did was I looked in the car and on the ground for shattered glass. I thought I got robbed, and I had forgotten to roll it up. And I had a checkbook and my wallet in there. And I was like, "Fuck!" Like, luckily, no one looked. Like, how often would you find stuff like that? Like an unlocked car, nothing at all.
Nah, I wasn't. You know, I was. I didn't like fucking dabbing from people who were like just in the car. Like, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mind hitting drug dealers because they were out there. Once you start selling drugs, you're out of the fucking boundaries. That's it. You're out of legal boundaries. That's it. Anything goes. People allowed to shake you down. People allowed to take your drugs. That puts you somewhere. You're in a legal.
I wish that was the actual law.
No, it's not the actual law, but it's like the unwritten law.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's cool.
It was very fucking spontaneous. I didn't fucking just walk by and go, I'm going to break into this house. God knows. Excuse me, those people are poor. What the fuck's going on up there? So I didn't want to fucking clip people like that.
And that all that time you had the gun?
Sometimes. Yeah, I had a gun then.
Fuck.
I always carried a gun then. How fucking crazy is that? I think in my life now, I would never carry a gun now. You know, I have a gun, but I would never fucking carry it. But just to think that I carried a 9mm... You know how much fucking trouble I got into, Lee?
And you never had one shootout or one, hey, like...
I pulled the gun a couple times.
You did?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Horrible.
Really?
Scary. Scary. Scariest things I've ever did is pull a gun on people. Because that's it. Again, you're in a different realm. Somebody's got a gun on them. I got a gun on you, Lee. Anything could fucking happen now.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's it. That's it. Anything could fucking happen.
Oh, my God.
Once you pull a gun on somebody, oh, my God, it's the scariest fucking thing in the world.
No more Christmas card list.
No. Once you pull a gun on somebody, Lee, whether to rob them, whether to pull your... Like, I used to pull guns on coke dealers. I used to, like, let guys know I had guns. That's
like
bad.
Lift up your shirt?
Yeah, like, let fucking people know. Don't even think about it. I'll blast you right in the fucking... I mean, I was terribly, terrible.
I think you got all your moves from acting for, like, movies. Since you love movies so much. I think you, like, got all your moves.
No.
Like, your criminal moves were, like, from movies.
I got my moves from Juan.
Really?
Growing up.
That's fucked up.
I got a lot of that shit, too. That's why I wasn't that bad at that particular. I knew how to hide a gun the right way because of Juan. You know, I would never put
your stepfather.
Yeah, I would never put my gun in my fucking strap there. I would always carry it between my legs. I would always have like an ankle holster.
No way.
Yeah. I had a fucking badass holster for a while. That's how crazy I got. I had the Don Johnson holster with the gun here, and it would crisscross your back.
No, you wouldn't.
And you would have two bullets over. That was towards the end, Lee.
What would you think to yourself as you're putting it on in the morning? You're like, yeah, I'm a bad motherfucker. Like, that's why you tweet all that stuff now, because that's, if I was putting on, like, a holster.
Oh, my God. Oh. Man, I don't know what my heart was thinking.
Thank God you really never had to shoot somebody.
I really don't have an answer for anybody. If anybody ever sat me down and questioned me.
Yeah.
What I was thinking in the morning when I put the holster on. I was thinking today is the day I'm going to get killed. I was thinking today is the day that somebody's going to come and get me for something I did in my youth. And I'm going to have to pull this gun and I'm going to shoot it out. Like I was, and I used to go target practicing then. Once every 10 days. I used to clean my gun all the fucking time. Yes, Lee, you have to keep your guns clean. I used to take them home and spread the newspaper out and take the brush and the fucking things out. I was a fucking idiot, Lee.
Did you have it when you had the Rocky apartment? Because that's just the image I have in my head. It's just like a Rocky apartment.
No. Okay. By that time, I was done with the Rocky apartment. I was done. No.
Okay.
After I got arrested for the kidnapping, I came out. I had a few guns, and little by little, I got rid of them one by one. I still know where two of them are in Colorado and Boulder, if they're even there. If the place got developed and torn down, the guns got found.
Oh, okay.
I always had.
You would hide them places like that?
Yeah.
If you go back, would you ever consider like going to check?
No.
Just to like see or like send somebody?
I don't want to even touch that energy anymore.
Oh, that would be crazy if they were there.
Oh my God, I used to have I used to put the shoulder holster on and go out at night with a jacket over it, Lee. And I wouldn't let people touch me. I'd just shake their hands or wave.
Fuck.
One night in like 19, I kidnapped Vella in 87, but in 86, this is when I was really losing it. This had to be October of 86, and by this time I was gone, Lee. I had stayed clean for about 16 months from December of New Year's Eve 84 till about April of 86. And I started dabbing a little bit, like a couple lines here, a couple lines there. I would get high with Jackie's mother and we'd, you know, whatever, watch TV or I eat her ass, whatever the fuck we were into. And
either one.
And then I just started doing more and more blow. Then Danny B called me, called the podcast. And he said that he could get coke really cheap. They were making a ton of money, him and his partner at the time, because they were buying it directly from these Cubans for $800 an ounce. It came out to like, I don't know what, like they were selling, they were buying like 11 ounce packages, and that's what they would sell me.
Okay.
They considered selling it to me at first. And I had no money, Lee, and I went to these two guys, and I did the math, and with the money I was going to make, I could borrow money from them and pay them interest.
Okay.
And what I would do is I would tell the people, get your money ready for tonight. I'm coming with some great coke. And I knew what everybody else was selling. There was like three or four other coke dealers, and I knew what they were selling. So I undercut them price-wise. I had a better product, and I had a better presentation. I left the rock. Everybody was grinding up coke then and cutting it and grinding it up and giving it to you, grind it up. And people would say, well, people like it like that when they go out. People like it like that, but you give somebody a rock of coke and they see it, they lose their mind. They come back and buy more. So I was undercutting them on price, $5, which made me lose money in a way because nobody has a $5 on them. So everybody always give me $40 and owe me $5.
Okay.
You following me? So unless when you came the next time, I go, oh, you owe me $5 from the last time. Give me the $50. There's no chance. You following me? So, but in the end, I lost money for doing that. I should have just sold Rocky Coke for $50. I could still cut it, but, and that's what I did. So I always knew that as soon as I get the ounces back, I'd sell it. An amount. I go to a guy like you that I know you were buying from somebody else, and I go, what are you buying for an ounce? What are you paying for an ounce? I'm paying 15. How about if I could sell you blow for 12? And better than what you're getting. I'd still throw a cut on it, and I'd still make $400 an ounce at 12, right? If I was paying $8 for it.
Yeah.
So by the time I had the coke back in Colorado, I had already sold half of it. So all my investors had their money first. So the rest of the money was all profit for me. So in a way, it was good because it didn't. Then towards the end, I kept snorting more and more and more and more. And the more I snorted, the more guns I bought because I was buying guns to take to the East Coast. And on the way back, I would bring the coke. It was good. This is craziness. This is like, fucking crazy. This is like a fucking horrible part of my life that at the time while I was doing it, number one, I was so stupid because I could have still been locked up. Number two, 1,000 things could have happened. And in my mind, Lee, I wasn't doing nothing wrong. I mean, I was traveling with 12 guns at a shot and a suitcase with 3 sweatshirts with boxes of bullets. Boxes of bullets. And 10 of those fucking holsters.
Jesus. I've never done coke. But you said it makes you paranoid. How could you have so many guns and never once shoot at anything?
Well, it goes in cycles because the first couple of years I did blow, I didn't get paranoid. But I got, you know, it's a different, you go in cycles. Then after like 3 or 4, 4.5 years, that's when I started getting the paranoia. I started looking out a window. You know, I would hear noises. You know, by 86, I was gone. I was hearing noises and the paranoia was growing. And that's what made me buy more guns. And I can't, probably from mid-July till November of 86 in Aspen, I had a gun on me all the time, maybe even 2 guns. I'd have one in the car, under my seat, or under the passenger seat, and I'd have one on my body. But the cops were watching me. But to rattle me in those days, they tried to either bug the house. So they broke into, I had a the house I was house sitting at, there was a main house, then there was a little house. We kept the drugs in the main house. The little house where I lived, there was no drugs. The scale, the drugs, the baggies, everything was in the main house because the main house, I wasn't in there. I was supposed to be in there. If you walked into the main house and went down the stairs, there was like a little boiler room downstairs that controlled the pool and everything that they had.
Right.
Behind there, there was some places where I hid the scale and I weighed the coke. I would lock myself in. That'd be hotter than fuck from the steam bath and everything. I'd hide all the coke in there. So I think the cops knew what I was doing in there. So they tried to break into my house one night. I got back and I could see the steps and I could see that the door was fidgeted with. So I assumed it was a certain person, that's dead now. His name is Todd. And I knew that where he was going to be at, there was a party. I'll never forget. This is how crazy I was. I walked in the party without a fucking jacket.
Just holsters?
Just a holster, the gun in, and I took the gun out of the car and walked in there with that in my hand.
What the fuck?
And I said, where's Todd Bott? And I grabbed him and I got into a little bit of argument, and he swore to me it wasn't him.
That
he had known me for a long time, and he did. Todd was a great kid. I always loved Todd with all my heart.
Except for that one moment.
Well, I didn't know, but think about all the things that could have happened. What if he would have pulled the gun?
Oh, my God.
That's the what ifs. What if I would have walked in there, and when I was talking to Todd, one of his buddies would have pulled the gun and put it to my head, and I would have had that gun in my hand, and it would have gone off and shot one of the girls in the house. These are all things that I get up every morning. People always said, man, you're pretty humble because I get up every morning and I thank the fucking Lord because I remember stories like that. That's what keeps me on my fucking toes, Lee. Shit like that. So I walked into that party with 30 people, Gentiles, not even to make it worse, Lee, and asked for Todd, whatever his fucking name was, and said, let me talk to this motherfucker with a gun in my hand and a gun in the holster. How much of a fucking Puerto Rican was I?
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. That's
what that's makes crazy.
My heart beat. That's the shit that makes me fucking sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's do some fucking shout outs.
Oh, wait.
Real quick. Well, Ustream is down again?
No, it's cool.
It went down like twice, but what do you want to do, people?
I don't know.
The fuck you want me to do? It's not even
us. We're getting off of it. But
who's getting off of it?
We are.
Oh, shit. Do your thing.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart. as I. A somebody who will swear to be true.
How cool was it that Damon brought Rita's Italian Ice last podcast? I'm so high right now. I was just thinking, ooh, we could have Italian Ice again.
But I went there yesterday to take the baby. It was fucking closed. Oh, I didn't even do the fucking shout-outs. What the fuck am I doing? Took my Brandy Lee, you know I love you. Brandon Lynn called me the other day. I went to call back. You didn't answer. Paul Lynch, cocksucker, you're my man. Eddie Canani, Peter Garcia. Been fucking, we've been going back and forth. I don't know what the fuck that said. Spiral Tippus for you. Glenn Pashimi, Matthew Seal, and Hash Star. I love you, cocksucker. Houston was great this weekend, man. I had some nice food. I stuck to my fucking points. I worked at the hotel, had an Olympic bar on a bench, so I did all my shit, my deadlifts and everything. I'm down to 309 now.
Hell yeah.
I've lost 16 pounds, so I'm feeling better.
Your clothes looser?
Yeah, my clothes are loose. I'm strong. I feel good. I took the day off today because I worked out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I didn't go to jiu-jitsu today. I just did some shit this morning. I went to this audition. So everything felt really good. This week I'm in Tempe. D'Agostino's coming with me.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be motherfucking fun. You know what I'm saying?
And what day is Thursday through Saturday?
Thursday through fucking Saturday.
That's awesome.
You know how we do it, Jackson. Oh,
shit. How much did you give me? Because this is...
How much did I give you? Does it really matter? Does it really fucking matter?
The people at Anarchy Edibles put 420 on the wrapper, and I thought for a second it was a 420 milligram star, but it wasn't.
No, you're almost looking at 420.
Probably.
Fuck. What does that say to you?
I don't know.
I'm pretty high myself. You don't think you're fucking special because you're sitting there.
You put hash on the pipe that had like glass in it.
Listen, man.
What the fuck was that?
Let me tell you something.
It had like glass in it.
At 10 o'clock, I went over to this place on Ventura that sells this shit. This is a Gentile store where they're very nice. They have lemon water at the door. There's no Russians working. You know, there's just night. There's a Hindu with a new haircut. Right? This little Hindu dude who sits there and all this shit.
Oh, this is a new haircut.
I got there at 10 after 10. I thought it was going to be packed. They got valet parking.
Ooh.
I walked in, I got a gram of regular weed, indica, that was pretty good. I got a gram of the sticky, that Chinese fucking heroin. The one-eyed Jew wasn't there, he called in sick today, it's 420. It's a Jewish holiday. And then I got a piece of that Master Kush hash, right? And then on the way out, they go, hold on, we got a gift bag for you. I go, gift bag? They go, it's 420. They gave me, oh my God, they gave me hemp lotion, another big piece of hash, another big piece of that shit. They gave me a vapor pen that you have to buy the vapor flavors and just smoke it like the blue cigarette and shit like that.
Okay.
They gave me an edible, a 60 milligram edible, which I popped right there at 10:10.
Of course, why not?
Right? And they gave me kiva berries in the bag. I brought the bag to the car and opened it up. I'm like, and then before I left, there was two dudes giving away free samples. They gave me a banana, a little piece of banana chip, but the bag is this big, 100 milligrams. I have to eat a bag of banana chips. The guy's like, this is healthier. Go fuck yourself. And there was a guy with brownies, all gluten-free, no calorie, diabetic fucking brownies. He'd go fuck yourself. Because
that's what you're looking for.
And it was a little piece, but it was 25 milligrams, so I inhaled that too. So right off the bat, I had 85 milligrams out of me on the walk out. You see what I'm saying? So who's better than me? But there's fucking people everywhere at these weed stores. Like, what happens today is the people give you free bags, so people go from store to store just signing up, getting fucking staminka joints. And it's not good shit that they really give you, but at least they're making an effort, man.
CNN's doing this thing right now about, like, the people who are opening legal stores in Colorado, and they made, like, something like $50,000 their first day or something, and it's just like, if I had a little bit of money, like, why wouldn't you consider going out there and buying a store?
If you, being listen, one of the first. If I really enjoy it. Let's get something out of the fucking way, right?
Right.
Like, out of all the evils, I really enjoy marijuana.
Marijuana is not evil.
I really do. Out of all the evils, whatever habit you may have, bad habit, whether it's eating fucking mayonnaise, whatever the fuck you eat, whoever the fuck eats mayonnaise, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say
is... You like mayonnaise.
I like, well, I'm not mayonnaise out of a spoon, you know, and rubbing it all over your body and jumping up and down like, hey, who fucking is juice. That? I'm just saying.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to fucking tell you is that out of all the evils, I really enjoyed marijuana because for me, and this is since day one. Since day one, man. I never dreamt of fucking smoking. And my, it lures you. Once you smoke it, you giggle. You fucking giggle.
It's fun.
What? Who does not like to laugh? Who wants to be miserable all fucking day?
Hitler.
Especially laughing at shit that makes no sense at all in your world when you fucking laugh. Right? And yeah. Then I found it to be, by the time I was 17, I found it to calm me down and I found it to open up my head. If I had a problem or was feeling bad about something, I would smoke it and it would help me think out the problem. That's how I looked at it for all those years. But then it became something I smoked when I went to bed, and it really helped me fall asleep.
Hell yeah.
And then it became something that I smoked in the morning just to take the edge off the day. Whatever I was thinking would consume me. Remember I told you I had anxiety and I was shitting blood when I was 21?
Yeah.
That's when I started smoking pot in the daytime, heavy duty, because it rolled out that I wasn't that anxious anymore. I was always an anxious kid. I could, like, if you told me to be somewhere at 8, I'd get that 7:30 and fucking sweat bullets and
right.
Be waiting for your fucking, you know. I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like being as competitive as I was, that little dumb things, you know. There's some things you could be competitive at, but there's some things that you have to let live and let live. And that's what pot took away from me. So that's why I enjoyed it, you know. I get it. So for me to sell it at a store, I could really talk to people. I really enjoyed it. It wouldn't be money for me. It would be something that I love to get high. I love to talk to people about it. I love to, wouldn't you want to have a store and play music? All fucking day. Have a DJ there. I'd play the fucking music. Fuck the DJ.
It sounds like fun, but then again, it's also like, it's a great way to make like millions of dollars, which is like, it's not a bad side.
And listen, I have no ill will about somebody making $1 million off me. I don't give a fuck if I buy something. You know, if you want to, that's what you want to do for a living, and you don't give a fuck, you know, if you don't give a fuck about getting shot or getting, I know for a fact one of these weed stores is going to get robbed today.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Easy. Easy day today.
Yeah.
They got their guard down, everybody in this high, they're giggling, the chicks are giggling. I guarantee there's going to be 3 weed stores robbed today. Because 3 knuckleheads are going to think, you know, let's get them on 420. They've been watching the store since 10 o'clock. All this money, all this cash, where the fuck is it going? It's got to be somewhere in there.
Are you giving people bad ideas?
No, it's the fucking truth. What do you think? I got to give people bad ideas? What, so every time you see a bank rob, that's Joey Diaz gave him the fucking idea?
Well, not now.
Every time you see somebody fucking punch a gas station attendant now because I talk about the Freaky Freddy story, you're going to feel, but no. People.
It's a lot of gas station attendants.
Listen, that store where I go, the Sunso Herbal, they already tried to get robbed.
Fuck.
They've been there maybe a half a year. There was a guy out there robbing customers.
Fuck.
You know every what? Fucking store that I bought weed at has had somebody trying to fucking be Johnny Pirate.
That makes sense.
And I've seen him. I saw him at Cushmart in Hollywood when they were in the small building. I think somebody was on the show and we were talking about Cushmart used to be in a small building, an office building.
Right.
It was horrendously bad. You know, they're in a building with dentists. The whole building smelled like fucking weed. Somebody tried to rob them when they were there. At gunpoint, all of them. And they got caught. Somebody tried to rob Cushmart when they were on fucking Selma. Somebody tried to rob the weed store that was next to Justin Fortune's fucking gym. People always trying to rob those fucking things, man. There's no security in there. Yeah. It's some fucking guy that's fucking stoned with cameras. You go in there, but see, that's why they get the IDs and they have the cage. Like, if you go to Hollywood, they're fucking tight. They're tight. You have to give them an ID to go in, so they got your ID. So unless you got a fake fucking ID, that means you got to go all the way and get a fake ID, not have any fingerprints on it. Because you had to have an ID. That's why you don't run right into them. Like the place that was on Magnolia, Santana's. There was no, all you had to do was buzz you, and they buzz you, and you gave the kid the license at the counter. You're fucking, he's getting robbed. He's getting robbed. 3 fucking guys, 3 gang bangers are going to go in there. There's people that just go from store to store all day, check out the security. You have to assume. When somebody is a new fucking patient, you have to assume they just come in there. That's what they do, bro. How do you think places get robbed, Lee? People see vulnerabilities. It's like anything else. People come into your store, walk out, and go, ooh, if I was a fucking burglar, I'd hit that fucking place. They had money on the register. The back window was open. They don't buzz you at the door. That's how it starts. Then they tell somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody, and next thing you know, you're getting fucking robbed, Lee.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. Not as fucked up as you are. Look at you. What do you got planned for tonight? You going to pick up Paul, eat some Mexican food, or what?
No, I don't know what I'm going to do.
What do you mean, fuck?
That's crazy. I know, and I was just thinking, like, you know how you said, like, student loans were low interest. Like, if I was a student now, you should do that. Just take a student loan out and just buy a dispensary in Colorado.
No, you take a couple student loans out. And you buy a house, because even if the interest rate is what, you're still fucking making money. It's 3%.
Okay.
You follow me? So let's say even if you juice the money out, even if somebody comes to you and says, Lee, I want to borrow $50,000 fucking dollars. Okay, man, I'm going to give you 10% a week. You're going to give me 10% of $5,000 a fucking week. That's 500 fucking bucks until the $5,000 is fucking paid off and all. That's your investment right there. You know, a lot of mobsters do that. Like let's say a family, right? Let's say like the Gambinos.
Okay.
The Gambinos had a chapter of just dudes that loaned money. Okay, at 10%. Who do you lend money to? A bank that want a business that doesn't want to borrow from a bank. They got credit and everything, but they just don't want to go to a bank. It's a short-term loan. $50,000, maybe they want to buy some inventory or something like that. I come to you. And I go, Lee, you're my captain. I got some money I want to push. What can you give it to me for? You give it to me for a point and a half. I loan it out for 6. A lot of times, when you get out of jail, the mobsters will give you $50,000 and give it to you for a half a point.
I don't know what that means.
A half a point. You have to give them a half a point a week. So what's 50,000? What's 5 points of 50,000? What's 10 points of 50,000? 5. What's 5 points of 55,000? 2,500. And what's a point of 50,000? Maybe like 600, 500. So you give me 50,000 for a half a point a week, and I loan it out for 5 points a week. I make 4 points right off the fucking top. So if I lend you 50,000 for 5 points a week, right?
Right.
50,000, 10,000 is 5. You're going to give me 2,500 a week.
Right.
Until you have my fucking 50,000.
Plus interest.
That's the interest.
Okay.
You're going to give me $2,500 a week till you have my $50,000 in full. The $2,500 you give me a week is interest. I'm going to give him $600. I made $19 right off the fucking bat by lending you money.
Okay.
You following me? So that's why all those type of loans, when they're low interest, you could always do something with it, because you're going to do it at 8% or 9% or 10%, not if you're lending money on the street.
So you're like a middleman. I feel you.
Sure, you're a fucking middleman, and you're still taking something right off the top.
That's cool.
For your fucking damages.
That's crazy, though, to loan someone else's money. That's messed up.
What do you think a bank does? What do you think when you go buy a car? Okay,
yeah.
When you go buy a car, tonight Lee Syatt goes to Volkswagen, and he says, I want to buy a car. They take your credit app, and they fax it out there. They do business with 8 banks. They email it to 8 banks. 6 banks are going to come back. They're going to try to get the best rate. Right? From a bank. So they're going to be anywhere between 9. I don't know what the national interest rate is. So please don't quote me on this. So when you fucking buy a car.
Okay.
Okay. And you go to finance department. And you go in there and you go, hey, I got a bank who says they'll give me a new car loan. What's the percentage? 9%. I got to beat that. All right. So I'm going to take your credit out. And I'm going to send that motherfucker out. And then one bank comes back with 7. I'm going to charge you 8. So I'm going to make a point on this fucking loan. Guess what? A point ain't a lot of money, but if I do 10 of those a fucking week, that adds up, my friend.
So how do you get the point?
I get the point because the bank gave me the loan at 7%. You said that if I could beat fucking 8.5, that I'll get your business. I give you the fucking loan at 8%.
And then they pay you back, I feel like.
I just make a point right there. So if I do 10 of those a week, that's another way a dealer makes money. They deal with a couple different fucking banks. They send your credit application out. Somebody buys you for 6. You just committed because you said 8.5. So I'm still going to get you for eight. I'm not going to drop under eight. I got you at eight. If I can get you under 8.5, yeah, okay. I'm going to make 2 points on you. You dig, cocksucker?
I'm feeling you.
You learn something new every day. I didn't know this either until I sold fucking cars.
It's all a scam.
It's not all a scam. People got to make a fucking living, at least I am. Everybody's got to make a fucking dollar somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but it seems like they're just everyone's finding new ways to charge people for stuff.
Well, what do you do? When you wake up in the morning, you don't want to charge people? You're going to work for free?
No, I don't want to work for free. I don't want to work for free, but I almost had to fly somewhere a couple weekends ago.
Fly somewhere?
Fly somewhere.
Okay.
And I spent all day at the airport, and I would have missed 3 connections, and I had a hotel booked, I had a car rental booked. So that's a lot of money lost if I can't get there.
Right.
The airline does nothing. It's hard to get to anyone on the phone. Spend hours in line waiting to talk to somebody. But if I want to stay an extra hour, I have to pay $200 just to even think about changing my flight. And now because tickets are more expensive, I have to pay what the difference in the fare is. It doesn't seem fair. And you fly every week. You must deal with it constantly.
It's a cost to do business. You got to fly.
Yeah, and that's why they can do it.
You have to fly, and they have you over a barrel. You know, you pay for the hotel room ahead of time. That's your fucking faux pas because you're a momo. You don't pay for nothing. You just make the reservation, and you cancel from the airport. And that's it. You make the reservation.
Right.
They'll take your credit card number, but some don't. Some of them don't. They just take the reservation. Then you pay when you get there. You give them your credit card, and they pay. You bang the hotel on the fucking way out. Don't you think that's smart?
Right. No, I was trying to save money by doing all those deals. Sure.
So what'd you end up dropping for that? 3 bills.
Yeah.
To be a fucking momo.
Yeah.
It's okay. You live and you learn. You'll never do it again.
No, I won't.
You'll never fucking do it again. See, that's how they get you. They just swallowed $300 fucking. And they don't have the decency to say, we understand your situation.
And they never even called. That's a fucked up thing. The hotel never called once. I called from the airport when I thought I was just going to be delayed once. And I was like, first, they didn't even answer the phone. They, picked up, but they were, having a party. And then they, when they finally picked up, I was like, oh, I'm going to be late. They're like, okay. And I was like, do you want my name or anything? Like, nah, we don't really care. So they just, who cares?
They're going to swallow the fucking bill. A lot of you people at home today thought this was going to be like a 420 fucking Momo get together, smoke-a-thon. We ain't like that. We smoked a bowl outside.
Oh my God, I'm so high.
We smoked a bowl outside. We ate a couple pieces of fucking edible.
Just a couple pieces of apple. I can't even help my ass.
This is a new star that we cracked into. Anarchy Edibles, always throwing fucking heat, representing always. Look, we took the one fucking star. It's not a, what's that song? Twinkle, twinkle. It's not, you can't sing the fucking song for the star no more. Plus, we ate $1.25 outside. Plus, I ate a whole fucking Chiba Chew of $1.80. What do you think you're dealing with, people? You know what I'm saying? I've been living for fucking 20 for the last 30 years. Get your clock fixed, bitch. What's up, Lisa? Yeah,
that is a very long but a great shirt.
What?
I've been living 420 for 20 years, yeah. So get your clock fixed, bitch. Yeah,
get
bitch.
Your fucking clocks fixed,
that's a great.
Bitch.
That's a great line.
I didn't
line.
Know for, until 420 when I moved out here. Ralphie May told me it's 420. I didn't even know. Who's who waits till 4 o'clock to smoke dope anyway? Only some moron. In my world, it's fucking 6:30 a.m. 6:20. That's the time I was smoking this morning. I got fucked up this morning. That's why I went back to that place to get more of that fucking Chinese glass heroin opium we got you smoking this afternoon, which was delicious. I know you enjoyed it. Don't bullshit me.
And people out there like to smoke, and they make fun of me for getting this high. When you say you were smoking at 6:20 in the morning, you weren't smoking like a light joint, like to just get the day started. Well, I'll step lightly. You probably put hash on there.
Everything.
The
audition was at 1, though.
Oh, my God.
I had to go write, so I wanted just to be nice and big. So I got up early. I did some writing. I got on Facebook. I fucking had a nice breakfast. I went for a nice walk. I came back and I got sizzled. Well, who am I lying? I got sizzled before the walk. I can't lie to nobody. I got fucked up to the gills before the walk. I came back and I got fucked up again. I went and wrote for 2 hours. I went over my audition. Then I shot down to this fucking I came to a couple of weed stores, and I came to see my main man, Lisa, yeah, and some of the beautiful people in the church. What's happening now? What the fuck you want from me, cocksucker?
Sounds like a good day.
We didn't have a guest today, because what's the fucking difference? It's 420. I didn't want to mess around, ask somebody questions. Maybe they don't want to smoke pot or whatever the fuck they are, so fuck the guest today. We'll resume again with guests on fucking Wednesday. Then next week, we're doing 3 podcasts for you next week. You know the deal. Yeah.
I can't feel my lips.
We got secret fucking guests. Look at this fucking guy. Can't feel his lips. You're like a hooker at 5 in the morning. She can't feel her lips because you suck fucking 18 dicks. What are you going to do, cocksucker? You know, this week, Tempe, Arizona. I'm very excited. I haven't been. Last time I was in Tempe, was with the Flying Jew. He went to the fights this weekend. What are you waving for? What do you want?
I don't know.
What are you waving? What's the matter with you? You all right?
No.
I love this fucking kid. No, look at him. What do you got planned for the week?
Oh, just a lot of work. But
you're consulting. You like this consult? I mean, Lee, look, let's face it. You know a lot about podcasts. You know a lot about that. I was talking to Matt Coleman from the Improvs today, and I was talking to him about marketing. We were talking about comics and what comics are doing and what he finds. He hires Facebook ads and everything. And I was saying, guys, I know nothing about marketing. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know dick about nothing. Whatever you guys learned at school for 4 years, I can't tell you. I don't know. But I've learned something completely different the last 4 years. I know I have, you know, and so have you. You've seen trends. You know, when I was doing Beauty and the Beast, she released on Friday. Who the fuck downloads on Friday? And by Monday, Bill Burr comes along. Fuck Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many little things that enhance your podcast. It's like when you go to jiu-jitsu and you learn a move, and somebody comes and says, put your knee closer to their ear for side control. Or when you do the Kimura, put your knee, you know, that's just so, put your hand on by his ear or your elbow. That's what it is, the elbow by his ear when you're pressing down. They just help you. They just enhance you. You know, there's a lot of people that are starting a podcast right now, and it's like anything else in life, you know. How do you start stand-up comedy? You see somebody on stage, and you say, I'm funnier than him. How do you get into fighting? You look at somebody that's fighting, you go, I can beat his fucking ass. Same thing happens with podcasting. There's a lot of people probably listen to this podcast and go, I could probably do a fucking better job. And you sit down and you get the equipment or what you think works. And guess what? Once you start testing the equipment, it's just not going to work. So what do you got to do? You got to pack that shit back up. You either mail it back to fucking Amazon or go back to Guitar Center and start from fucking scratch again until you find what works. It's a fucking process, okay? What Lee provides is just letting people know what things to get. It's like Nanotech when we were talking to them. And they told us to get, we wanted to get a set of cameras. And they told us to get different sets of cameras. These are the things we learned. What would have happened if you would have bought the other cameras?
Well, yeah, the GoPros.
They wouldn't have worked for this. Okay. No. So there's so many little things that you learn about you. It's like if my toilet fucking clogs up. We all know how to declog a toilet and how to get a snake and do it, whatever the fuck it is.
I don't know how to do that.
But after a while, you know what, man? There might be something that somebody might come in for the $50 and just do and take care one time and it won't happen again. That's the things we've learned. And that's the things I've learned through the podcast, like when not to release, what to talk about, what subjects not to fucking talk about. You know, what type of people to bring on to interview. You know, like when you're looking at somebody, there's a lot of people that I could bring on the fucking show. But I'll tell you, man, I talk to them in public and I don't think we'll fucking jizz. So why would I bring them on the fucking show and insult you guys? That these are the moves you learn. Instead of just, you know, I bump into 1,000 fucking people a day. I bump into 1,000 people a week that I could go up to and go, hey, man, how about the podcast? A lot of people are just going to be a pain in the ass. They're not going to show, or they're going to tell me they want to do it in the last minute. Their mother died, or their cat got hit by a fucking lawnmower or some shit. So fuck it.
Yeah.
I just know what people are going to work out. So sometimes I'd rather put somebody on that I have a relationship on than just some fucking guy that, you know, I bump into on the street that's been in a band or something like that, that I may know him from his music, but I don't really fucking know who he is. I'd rather not even bring him on here because I don't know him. I'm not going to get the best out of him for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What's up, Lee Syatt? So I like what you're doing. I like the service you're providing. I believe in it. You know, I hope that if you're thinking of starting a podcast, you contact the Flying Jew and ask him for advice.
And it's just, I did a little research like when I was thinking about doing it. Like I had thought about doing it for a little bit and then some guy actually tweeted at me and said maybe I should like write a book, but when I typed in podcast consultant, there's tons of them. There's all the podcast gurus and and King of Podcasts. But
do they have a podcast?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not gonna be. I'm not the best audio guy. I feel like I get good audio, but I don't know everything that I should be doing.
Right, we still get people. Put the compressor up. But, I'm going deaf. Who gives a fuck? Go deaf.
But I have a basic knowledge of it. But I have hundreds and thousands of hours of just, like, I learned. I tried new mics this weekend. They didn't work. Now I do have to return them. But it's just, I didn't realize until today when I did my first one how much, like, it takes a lot. There's a lot of steps. And it's still so new that there's not really a guy to follow. So, like, I just thought it'd be cool if, like, I don't know how many individual people are going to start them. That's great if you want to. But, like, I'm thinking about trying to do, like, businesses or, like, TV shows as, like, marketing tools. Because it's such a inexpensive way to
do it. Well, this is what the podcast is.
Right.
It's a marketing tool for people who, you have three different departments you're hitting with this. You get the person who wants to express themselves and what they really think. I always thought that this would enhance my career in the sense of at least people know where I was fucking coming from. They wouldn't just judge me from the stage or whatever stories they heard, you know, little stories go around. Two, yeah, you want to market yourself. You want to help to get out there. As a TV show, it would be fucking great to talk about what you want. You know, there's people like me that are nerds that like those little fucking things about TV. You ever watch Pop Up on AMC? They have like a movie. Let's say they're going to put on Under Siege. That's the name of the Steven Seagal movie when he takes over the ship?
Sure.
Is that it? I have no idea. Then they have a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock. The 8 o'clock is just a movie, but the 6 o'clock is the director's cut with little pop-ups. Boop, boop, boop. When Steven Seagal did this scene, he broke his rib. He couldn't shoot for 3 weeks. You know, when they hired her, they really wanted what's-her-name, but she fell out in the last moment and they hired this girl. I like those tidbits about a movie. If you're a movie buff,
yeah,
you know, that's what I think would help. If like they did one with Sons of Anarchy and it was horrifically bad afterward. Yeah. I don't want to see, watch a Sons of Anarchy. What I want to do is watch the TV show Wednesday night and get in my car Thursday morning and as I'm driving to work, hear commentary on the show I seen or at the end of a film. This is what I like at the end of a film when a movie, like last week, Paul Blart got released.
Right.
Right? So if you want to see Paul Blart on the way out, somebody gives you a little card that says if you want to hear commentary, listen to the Lowe's movie commentary podcast. And they'll talk about that movie, the other movie that came out about the chick that's 2,000 years old and everybody saw her, a Disney movie that came out this week, and then another one about the one that moved. What's the movie that made $1 billion? Too Fast, Too Furious, Seven.
Seven, yeah. Like 14, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Whatever the fuck they are, you know. Yes. But that would be a tremendous idea.
Yeah.
If I went to see a fucking movie, and on the way out, somebody gave me a card, and I could go in my car and go to some stereo station or something, press a button, and download that fucking podcast so I could hear what you know, Don Johnson's wife had to say about 50 Shades of Grey. Was that a real finger up her ass? Was it a prosthetic? Whatever the fuck happened, you know what I'm saying?
And then I hope I don't get you more work, but the fact that all comedy clubs don't have a podcast, that's not only that they'd have it, but that, so, like, sometimes they'll cut, like, I've heard stories of you going in and you're doing it while you're there. That's the stupidest thing in the world. If I owned a comedy club, all these comedians are doing podcasts. Have you call in a week before and people will listen to a comedy club's podcast because they should be having good comics coming in. The fact that they do it while you're there defeats the purpose.
I know. Well, this is where your consulting fucking firm comes in, cocksucker. Don't tell me.
We'll see.
I know the fucking deal. Don't be bothered. Let me give a shout out to some sponsors here. Onnit.com, optimization to the fucking fullest. I got a big box from them last week. I want to thank Orlando Rios. And I'll tell you what, their products are fucking better than ever. That Shroom Tech is on fire last week. And it get me through those two workouts, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, up there in fucking Houston, the one I did yesterday. Shroom Tech is tremendous, man. Fucking really is. I really am in love with that product. do me a favor. Go look at that product and all the other products they have. Go to onnit.com. If you see anything you like, go to the box and press in.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off your present order on it. You're going to fucking love the products they have. I can't do you anything for the battle ropes and the kettlebells, but I can help you out when it comes to the supplements. Again, go to onnit. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. My favorite motherfucker in the world, Dave Foley, over at Iron Dragon TV. Classic martial art films. I mean, classic fucking shit on there. I took a look again. There's too many to fucking remember. Why am I going to blow smoke up your ass? Do me a favor. Go to Iron Dragon TV right now. Take a look around. Go look around. They're the leader in 4K technology. They got great.
By a lot.
He adds more movies every week. I can't wait till he adds like westerns and fucking shoot 'em ups and criminal stuff. Do me a favor. Why are you listening to a fat fuck like me? Go to Iron Dragon TV. See, you're going to get two movies for free. Two movies for free on the fucking arm. So go there. Go to the box and press in.
Joey.
J-O-E-Y. And get two free movies, two free films today. You can get them this weekend. You got nothing to do. The kids are going to go to your grandmother's. You want to get your dick sucked. You watch a porn. Then later on, after you get your dick sucked, you want a little classic martial arts. Iron Dragon TV is going to solve it for you. Not to mention, pretty soon we're going to start doing commentary for them. So if you go to Iron Dragon TV, I'm going to give you a movie of the week, a movie of the month, something. We're going to start that soon, all right? So go to Iron Dragon and press in.
Joey.
There you go. Nailed it life, you vaporhead motherfucking torch-smoking cocksuckers. Before you see the devil, it all starts at nailedatlife.com. The best vapor pen on the market. Not only that, they have tools to help you dab. If you're into the dabbing fucking technology, go to nailedatlife.com. See what they got. Let's say you open up with the vapor pen. It's a $50 value. What do they get it for?
20% off.
20% off, that means 40. Your fucking math is all fucked up today. What kind of Jew I hang out with does bad at math?
Because do me a favor. The math I know is 400 milligrams.
All of a sudden he starts making 400.
It's at least 2 or 3.
10 or 20 from the star and 125. That's 150 in my book.
No.
Let's go to Chi Butcher.
Hell no.
All right, then shut the fuck up. Go to nailedatlife.com and press in.
Joey Diaz.
Boom, and get 20% off your first order on the best vapor pen on the market. Number three, who the fuck are you kidding? I don't go nowhere without my Hitty Cig, whether it's the fucking tobacco or the cigarette. 1,200 guaranteed puffs. You can switch up on flavors if you smoke the cigarette, but with the tobacco, it's just with the cigar. Fucking tobacco, what's wrong with with the cigar, it's just a beautiful cigar taste. You can take it to Las Vegas and blow smoke in people's faces, different places. You don't have to fucking light up. If you're thinking of quitting smoking, Hitty Cigs is the company for you because it starts at 24 milligrams and goes all the way down to zero. If you just want to fucking not smoke and do something different, HittyCigs.com. Guaranteed 1,200 puffs per fucking piece. Flavor, you can do whatever you want, but don't believe me. Go to HittyCigs.com right now. Look at the webpage. Find something that you want to fucking try and press in.
Joey's Church.
And get 20% off your first order. Right?
Did we say it was Joey Diaz for Nailed It Life?
Yeah. Diaz for Nailed It Life and Joey's Church. Thank you for confusing the fucking homebody. Ask me after I'm pitching this one. So hit these things. What are you pressing
Joey's
the box?
Joey's Church.
There you go. And get 20% off your first order with Hitty Cigs. Proven, guaranteed, 1,200 fucking bucks. When you go to one of these fucking vapor stores, you pay 10 bucks, and the thing dries out after one day. These motherfuckers, 1,200 bucks, bitches. So that's it. That's your 420 edition. I hope you smoke and giggle and jump up and down. But what's the abuse? That's what we do every day. You think I'm just going to do this shit once a day? Like New Year's? Go fuck yourself. I smoke every day.
It can't be New Year's if it's every day.
I'm part of the culture, baby. This is the culture. You know why? Because it keeps me fucking sane. I get it together. I get focused when I fucking go over my lines. I get focused. My comprehension gets better. And this is nothing that the government knows. This is what I feel that helps me. Fuck the government. They just think they got these scientists
what
doing
the
tests. I'm telling you what works for Uncle Joey, okay? Same thing. They say, if you have pain, put that shit on there. Don't numb the pain. If you smoke pot, it'll get your mind somewhere else and you forget about the pain. That's what the weed does. Besides that, I want to thank my main man, Lee Syatt. I want to thank Onnit.com, Iron Dragon TV, NailedItLife.com, and my main man over at HittyCigs.com. Please support these people. They support us. I want to thank my main man, Lee Syatt, and I want to thank you guys, the guys that came out to Houston. I love you. And for you motherfuckers, I'm going to see in Tempe. We're going deep this fucking weekend. You understand me?
Get D'Agostino high.
D'Agostino won't get high. He got high one time and he puked. And I pulled over. I gave him banana bread. He almost had a fucking
You started him off with banana bread? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's evil.
He was at one of the clubs and it was there. And he goes, let me pick it up. And that's what happens. All right, we'll be back Wednesday, 4 o'clock. I love you guys. Thank you very much for watching the church today. Stay black and stay beautiful. This is one of my oldies. I'm going to play for you guys right now. This is Taking Care. I used to listen to this before. I used to go to Englishtown, New Jersey. There used to be a Converse place. I used to stitch up Converse sneakers. I used to go down there, listen to this, and jump out and jump in the dumpster and take out a regular fucking sneakers. Name of the song is Taking Care of Motherfucking Business. Hit it, Lee.
Should I do the ends?
Yeah, do the fucking ends.
Okay. Yeah, you got crazy when that song came on.
Fuck yeah, that's my jam, brother. What do you think you're dealing? That's old school.
Go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of your order of all the great optimization products. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free movie rentals of all the great martial arts movies. Go to nailedlife.com for all the oil and wax smokers out there for the premier vapor pen on the market. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off. And go to hitesigs.com and use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off of your order. Better tasting, longer lasting. Proof is in the vape with e-cigarettes and e-cigars.
taking care of business.